Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, the show dedicated to the guitar player, guitar maker, gear builder, and purveyors of such items that you may not know about, but should. Here's your host, Mark Davin.
All right, folks, welcome back to Guitar Radio Show. Our newest guest, latest guest right here on the show is out of Las Vegas, Nevada, where, in my opinion, where rock and metal is now residing full time. And on August 6th, I believe it was, this band released a new record. It's called Second Chance. And we're going to talk with the leader of the band, and I imagine the principal songwriter of the band, Mr. Jeff Carlson from the Jeff Carlson Band. Welcome to Guitar Radio Show, man. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it. I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
Cool. So it's pretty early for you there in Vegas, right? What is it, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock?
It's 9 o'clock.
Okay, cool. So it hasn't warmed up quite yet.
Yeah, it's still pretty. Yeah, it usually hits by 2-3 o'clock. It's blazing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here in Austin, we've been having like triple digits for like, I don't know, last 60 days or whatever. Man. So we know.
Brutal.
So man, the new record is really good. I really like it a lot. It's super powerful. And as I was telling you off mic, my favorite track on the record, and I want to talk about it if we can at some point during this interview, is a song called Shine, which I said to you off mic is very cinematic in nature, and it's got this. I hear it and I see pictures, and I see a video. You know, so if you want me to direct a video, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that very well could be our next video. I don't know.
That's cool. So how is the how's the response been so far?
It's been great, man. I really want to thank my buddy Scott Thomas for hooking me up with this, and there's so many people to thank. I'm just glad to be out there and getting a positive response at this point, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, man.
So you are part of a guitar duo. It's you and Robbie Wolf on guitar, right?
Yep.
And
that's correct.
I'm always, you know, I've just recently started playing with a bunch of guys that where I'm another guitar player in the band. It's me and another guitar player. For the years, it's been just like the power trio thing. And I've had to get used to that again. Back in the 80s, when I played music like yours, similar to yours, I was in a two guitar band, and it was always about the basket weaving, you know, the like, okay, you're going to play here, you'll play here. We're going to try and fill this out as best we can. What's that process like for you guys?
Well, it's pretty natural. I mean, we've been playing together off and on since 1998, and it was one of those things where it was a real, natural chemistry. We just, you know, if I had a rhythm, Robbie played around me like a counter rhythm to make it unique sounding, you know, make it our own. So
right.
Yeah, that's pretty much how we do it.
And you both share the lead duties?
No, we have a song called Gone that I do a lead on, and I do a harmony lead on Screaming Inside. But for the most part, I leave Robbie do all the lead.
So you're the guy who's working the crowd.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
No, I am.
I can totally relate to that. Yeah. I can totally relate to that, yeah.
Well, I used to do back in when I lived in Tucson for a while, I had a three-piece for a while, and I just got so sick of trying to bridge the gap. It's really hard to do with fronting and then doing a lead and then doing, you know, it's too much on your plate. It's too much for one guy for me to do this kind of stuff I want to do, because I was playing, you know, YNTD and Stutzla and all these big, you know, dual guitar bands, and it's really hard to do that with just one guitar. So I'm very thankful to have Robbie.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. So what have you seen since, I mean, you guys have been you guys have been doing this for a while. So what have you seen? What's the difference now that this record's out? What's the difference for the band now at this point as far as gigs and stuff like that? Has it kind of changed for you guys a little bit? Because I know the record's getting a lot of attention.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to do key shows, you know. I mean, it depends on the venue, but mostly – I like to book us into rooms that are House of Blues, Counts Vamped out here is a great venue. We're very happy to play that place.
Yeah.
And we're playing the Whiskey September 27th with Jack Russell's Great White, which will be cool.
That's great.
I know those guys. Those guys are awesome.
Very cool.
So, yeah. The venues, I try to keep the venues bigger if we can, you know.
Right. So right now,
point, the more,
so kind of right now for you guys, it's about opening for other bands and trying to capture audience.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Bon Jovi years ago when they first started, he had a really great, basically, train of work model. He always said, you know, we'll open for as long as it takes until we're guaranteed to sell out on our own. You know, and that's kind of where our mindset is at. You know,
right.
we don't want to go out headline and not be a guaranteed draw.
Right. I totally agree with that mentality. I mean, it was something that I used to say to the band I was in at that time. I used to say, look, I want to keep opening for other groups. And then it got to a point where it was like, okay, you guys really need to headline these smaller rooms and these theaters, you know. And when you go and you play arenas, you'll obviously do opening acts. But, you know, you guys are, you know, I would always argue with management. It was always like, you know, you guys really need to headline this. And I'd be like, you know what? I'd prefer to just continue to open for bands and go in and crush. And, you know, and keep collecting, you know, audience members as I went.
Right.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, so.
Yep, that's it.
It wasn't until, you know, we started playing with bands like Twisted Sister and Leslie West and Poison and bands like that, that I realized, okay, we can afford to go and do those small rooms and the theaters as a headliner. And then when we're with those cats, you know, then we can go, okay, let them carry the weight. And it's up to us to be as damn entertaining as possible so they don't throw shit at us.
Right.
While we're opening for the big guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So what, where you guys have been, you guys are getting ready to go to California to do these shows, right?
And
is it going to be just that one show in LA, or are you going to have a couple other shows?
Well, right now we've only got two more shows booked for the summer right now. There'll be more trickle in, and I'll announce them as they come.
Right.
But for right now, we're constantly, you know, we got to work on new material, and it's just, you have to constantly, you know, keep plugging away at it, because you don't want to get stagnant, you know.
Right.
Especially if you've got time off between shows, you know, you don't want to do the same show to every show, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, especially to those who've seen you, you know. I mean, that's the thing. I try to make it different each show.
Yeah, for
so,
sure.
I mean, we've got songs that we haven't even recorded yet. So, but those, you know, what we did, Mark, is these songs that are on the EP, they're old songs. We wrote them years ago, or I wrote them years ago, and we just came in and I reconnected with, I started off in 1998 with Robbie and Corey, a bass player, and we played on and off through the years. And then I moved to Tucson in 2007 and moved back here to Vegas in last year in 2018 and reconnected. And Mike Bailey, the CEO of Potomac Records, he's Brett Michaels' drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He signed me to a solo deal. So I put Robbie and Corey back together, and Corey brought Mike, our drummer, in, and it just clicked, man. It's just, I'm so happy. So we've got, hence the, you know, second chance, you know.
Right. So how long did it take to record this record?
Well, it took about, took about 2 months. What we did is we went and recorded at the Hideout here in Las Vegas. And we had Robbie's son, Brandon Wolf, out of L.A. He mixed the record once we got the raw tracks done. And it didn't take long for him to do mix down. So, yeah, I'd say about 2 months, 2.5 months, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the track we heard on the way into the episode, you didn't hear it because you were off mic. But the track we heard coming in is the single, right? The first single, Screaming Inside.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there's a video attached to that, right?
Yes, there is. Yes, yeah. we just hit over 10,000 views, man. I'm so thankful.
That's great. Awesome. Yeah, folks, if you go to
big deal for me.
That's cool, folks. If you are listening on iHeartRadio or Spotify or iTunes or anywhere in Europe or Asia, go to guitarradioshow.com and you can see the video there in the show notes for this episode. And I've also put links to Jeff's website. It's jeffcarlsonband.com. And you can check all that stuff out there. So will there be more videos from this record, or what do you think?
I think we will. I really need to sit down and figure out what response gets the best response online, you know, downloads and all that, and then I will figure out what song to do. It's a work in progress, but yeah, we'll do another video from this record.
Yeah, that's cool. So let's talk about the actual track. Let's go track by track here. I mean, there's
sure.
Four tracks here. Let's talk about them. So Screaming Inside, tell me a little bit about the recording process there. And if you can, share with us because I know everybody's a gearhead out there. And if they dig the sounds that they're hearing, they're going to want to know what kind of gear you used.
We recorded that. Let's see. Originally, we brought our Marshalls in. I've got an old JCM. MK2. It's a 76 head. And, you know, believe it or not, when we did the raw tracks and layered them first, you know, they weren't what we were envisioning. It wasn't as heavy as we wanted it to be. So we scrapped that and we went with one of those Kemper heads.
Uh-huh.
And man, Robbie bought one and they just rip. So that was I think we used the Mesa Boogie sound
right,
for it.
Right.
You know, so yeah.
So is he using that?
Yeah.
Is he using that live?
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh wow!
Believe it or not, you wouldn't believe this, but because I think the pickups in my Iceman, I've got a new Paul Stanley Cracked Iceman, which is cool, man.
Uh-huh.
It's got Seymour Duncan, a 59 bridge pickup, and I mean, it sounds killer. And so I use, believe it or not, just for convenience sake, I just use my old Line 6 head because it's got the tuner and I've already got the presets built in, and it sounds killer through the PA. You know, they usually have 412s every venue we're playing, so we just plug right into their cabinets usually.
Oh, okay. So yeah, so there's a back line waiting for you.
Right, right. Robbie usually, I make him use his Marshall cabinet because for some reason, you know, we played the Whiskey opening for Firehouse in the beginning of July, and they have Black Star for their 412 cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And for some he was trying out a new Les Paul that was a Jimmy Page wired Les Paul,
mm-hmm.
and he wasn't familiar with it yet, and it just didn't have the sweet tone that his Marshall 412 had.
Mm-hmm.
So ever since then, I'm like, you know what? Use your Marshall, the cabinet, not the head, but the cabinet.
Right. So that's interesting. Yeah. So you guys aren't going out with traditional tube amps, and but yet you're getting the. You know, I'm finding that more and more hard rock metal bands are starting to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mark Slaughter uses one of those Toaster Kemper heads. You know.
Yeah. I have another friend of mine.
Killer.
Yeah, I have another friend of mine who's in a band called Streetlight Circus out of New York, and
uh-huh.
And they this one particular guitar, there's two guitar players in the band as well, and he uses the Kemper and he swears by it.
Oh yeah, well the thing is, I mean, the amount of presets in those things are just ridiculous. So
yeah.
You can get so many tones, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just crazy.
It's
eventually I'll probably get one too, but. for right now. I'm good for right now.
Yeah, it's I've yet to actually play through one. After I mean, I don't know how long Kemper's been around. Been a while, around a while now, but I have yet to play through one. You know, I mean, I have a type of modeling amp here at the studio, along with all my other tube amps. I have the Boss Katana, which is which is in many respects is like this incredible cube amp, essentially, but much better sounding. But has like, I don't know, 90 Boss pedals stuck inside it, and so it's, I mean, it sounds killer. But you know, yeah. I do find that, and it, I think it's smart that you guys are using digital amps, because I think if one of you was using digital and the other one was using a tube amp, the tube amp would probably swallow up that digital signal, because I have noticed that happen.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, pedal Marshall, man, it's a 50-watt head, and it is the loudest damn head I have ever played. I mean, it is ridiculous loud. Yeah. So to get that, you know, sustain and the crunch you want, you got to have it cranked a little bit, you know? And it's like, you know, a lot of these clubs, you know, they always bitch about, well, you got to come down on your stage volume so we have more control out front, which is, you know, I mean, it's fine. I get it. I used to run sound myself, but, you know, there's a lot less control with the old tube head.
Yeah.
It's one of these, you know. Plus, you don't want to have a tube go out on the road, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, they've got them in guitars now, but, you know, it's just, they're a lot more maintenance.
Right. So, being from Vegas, and you've been in Vegas how long now? How long have you been living there?
Well, I moved here in 98 and left in 07, and then I moved back last year, so whatever that is.
Right. So, it's really cool what's coming out of Vegas. I mean, you've got folks like, you got the Counts Band, right? You got Stoney Curtis Band,
yep.
Which is killer. I've had Stoney on the show, and I've had the Counts on here as well. And then you got Leona X.
Oh, yeah.
Who, she's just killer. Just a killer guitar player.
Yeah, there's another band here called Baker's Dozen that are really cool guys, man.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's interesting that there is this pocket. I mean, and most cities have a pocket of hard rock, hard rock, heavy metal. But it seems that, to me anyway, just from what I've been noticing, that there is this sort of resurgence of this form of music in Vegas. Would you think that's true? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm totally agreeing with you. We did this show at the House of Blues August 23rd, and it was called A Rock Off. Now, I've never seen these or heard of them before, except for in Vegas. And what it was is they had a house band, and then they had like a 20-people ensemble cast that sang Bon Jovi songs and sang Guns N' Roses songs back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Which, whatever. I mean, if it sells tickets, more power to them. But we were direct support for that. And man, that was the greatest show I ever did in my life. It was 1439 out of 1500 capacity sold out, or just about sold out. So, I mean, it was like dream come true for us, man.
That's cool. Yeah, to get in front of a lot of faces that may not have heard you before, or heard, or have, or actually even heard of you, for that matter.
Exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
And that's cool when you have people that have never seen or heard you before and they dig it. You know,
Great. Yeah. Well, then you know you're doing something right.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, so there's another track on the record, In My World.
Mm-hmm.
That was another standout track for me.
Cool.
What's the story behind that track?
Well, we wrote this years ago, but we re-updated it with, you know, we built the song to where it actually moves and goes somewhere. So Robbie's really good at arranging, so he helped me rearrange certain parts of that song to make it a sellable song to where it actually goes somewhere. So that song, I don't know. You know, I took inspiration, believe it or not, from Edge of the Blade from Journey on Frontiers record. The vocal line Steve Perry does. I mean, obviously, I'm not trying to, you know, duplicate what he did, but I take little influences from, you know, the guys I grew up on and try to make it my own. So that's kind of what where I was at with that.
That's cool. It's another really strong track on the record.
Oh, thank you.
And were you guys using basically all the same gear throughout all these tracks, or, or did you switch it up a little?
No, we used all the same tracks on, or same gear on all the tracks.
Okay.
Once we found the sound we were looking for, we just went with that.
You know, just plowed through.
We can make it sound, or it, you know, we're trying to create our own identity, if you will. You know, so that helps. You know, to once you find a sound, kind of stick with it.
Right on.
So, yeah.
Cool. So, Where are you guys getting ready to do any more recording, or is it, or are you just kind of working this right now?
Not yet. Well, we're working this right now for a while. I'm thinking maybe October we'll start recording a new record. It's not priority just yet to record, so I really want to write some new songs and maybe some songs that we haven't put on this record that we've already worked up, we'll put them on a new record. So between that, I think we'll have a really strong follow-up.
That's cool. I think it was really smart that you did an EP, because I kind of feel like, for the most part, the music business being what it is, and the, you know, the DIY world and the internet being so much white noise, that it's really hard to penetrate with a new record. I mean, even people like Sheryl Crow announced, you know, when she just released this new record of hers, she announced, she said, this is the last full on album that she's ever going to do. She's never going to do another record again, because people don't have the attention span, it seems.
No, that's exactly right. And obviously, the more songs you record, the more money it's going to be, you know.
Oh, so, for sure. Yeah.
You know, that does factor into it. I mean, I don't have, you know, Universal back of me just yet. And even if I did, I don't know that they'd want to do that anyway.
Well, I don't know if anybody does have Universal backing them.
I don't know yet what's gonna happen, but there's a strong possibility we might be entered into the Grammys. So
nice.
If we get that, I'll let you guys know, man. It'll be really, really cool.
That would be cool. That would be very cool.
Yeah.
I just think that's really good. So what's your opinion on the music business such as it is right now? I mean, you know, me now, I'm in such a different place in the music industry. I am such a side guy, behind the scenes person. Whereas I used to be exactly where you are right now, and, you know, putting out product, and this was before the internet, so putting out product, you know, and it was literally okay, write, record, release, tour, and it was like we used to call it birth, school, work, death. And it was like, let's get out there and pound and pound and pound and play. You know, I used to say all the time, I don't give a damn where we play. I'll play the opening of a new bathroom on the interstate if I have to, and get in front of people.
Use your own change.
Yeah, and just get in front of people, get in front of as many people as possible. You know, and I've heard Dave Grohl talk about this too, which is like, you know, you just got to get out there and you just got to play and play. And even if you're playing for one person, you know, it's sort of like what Peter Criss from Kiss said their first night at the Daisy in Amityville, Long Island. He looked at the band and said, "This is the Garden."
Yeah, that's very true. It's very true, especially when you're hungry and you're ready and you want to make a lasting impression. And you know, so many bands can get burned out from doing that too much, too. You know, so, I mean, we try to look at it like that. Every show we do, we're trying to crush it. So I agree. The thing with the music business now, I think, is yes, it's easier to be more widely known the more press you get, but you have, they've made it so, you know, the challenge is just different now.
Yeah.
You know, the labels won't sign you unless you've got, you know, numbers to back it up, because they don't want to take it and make an investment on something that's not going to sell.
Right.
So that's kind of where we're at. We're trying to build to get to a point to where, okay, we've done this, and this, check this out, and we're taken seriously to be really truly looked at from a major. You know, and even then, I don't know what the payoff will be unless there's tour support. I haven't gotten to that bridge yet, but hopefully we will.
Yeah. And further to that, what, you know, since the type of music that you're playing really isn't in vogue as it used to be.
Right.
Do you, I mean, you know, and I go look at the Billboard charts every week, and I go,
right.
You know, and I know I'm older, and I go, but I still go, who the hell are these people? And
I know.
I go ahead and I listen to it too, and I want to hear it. I want to understand, because of all of the you know, the cinematic music that I do, and you know, as a side thing.
Sure.
I want to understand in case I'm asked to do that type of thing. But how does that change your, you know, the playing field for you? How does that change your strategy? How does that change your methodology?
Well, you have to have a team, a marketing team, you know, guide you to be a specific market. In my opinion, there's a new, well, I won't say new, but there's a target audience out there that are of our age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, but it's in that same age bracket, that they're missing new music that they can really relate to. And that's the market I want to go after. Mm-hmm. I don't really give two shits about going after, you know, the Britney Spears market or Maroon 5 or, you know, whatever. But mm-hmm. It would be nice to be, if you're at the gym, you see the new Maroon 5 video, and then you see us. You know, I mean, that mm-hmm. would be great. You know, but
yeah.
I don't know if that'll ever happen.
Well, I mean, there was a time where, you know, when MTV existed in the way that
was originally. Oh, yeah, they made a lot of people's careers. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you know, literally, I remember, you know, watching MTV, and in a half-hour block of videos before they went to a commercial, you could see Motley Crue, you could see En Vogue, you could see, you know, you could see Tesla or Bon Jovi, and then you'd see, you know, Beastie Boys or Public Enemy or whoever.
Right.
You know,
right.
There was this allowability, even if that's a word,
I get it. Yeah, totally.
Of, you know, look, it's coexistence. You know, I kind of feel like that doesn't really happen now, and.
Well, that's the thing, and the people that are genre of, you know, I'm not trying to pigeonhole anybody. I don't mean it like that, but the people that grew up on the same type of music we did, you know, like from everybody from REO to Styx to Kiss to, you know, that whole genre, I think is really looking for a new band they can really reach out and grab, you know,
mm-hmm.
that's the same type of vibe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what we're gearing at.
Right. Okay, cool.
So
have you guys ever been working with any companies as far as like any instrument companies for endorsement deals or anything like that?
Well, we're trying to get several. I talked to Scott about getting us Ernie Ball. They're kind of bad about getting back to us. Whatever. I know what it is. I mean, you know, it's all about, you know, visibility and how many shows you're doing. And, you know, so it'll come. I'm not too worried about it right now. It'll come. It's just a question of getting all your ducks in a row to when you approach them, they they have all this to look at and go, yeah, okay, we'll do something.
Right.
So
right.
I think we're almost there. It's just a question of getting through to the companies to get a dialogue back and forth.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, I'll tell you, I really like the record. I think it's a really strong record.
Thank you.
And I think it's going to be about pounding it out and doing stuff like what we're doing right now.
Exactly.
And having these kind of conversations and, you know, having a strong web presence, obviously, because, you know,
and
at the end of the day, content is king.
It is. Absolutely, Mark.
In the world that we live in.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yep, it's all about who you know. It really truly is.
Well, like, yeah, and the story that you're preaching too, you know.
Absolutely, you know, and that's another thing I wanted to tell everybody is another meaning behind Second Chance. In 2001, I was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's disease, actually, and I actually died for almost 3 minutes on the operating table. So that's 7 surgeries since then, but I'm in good health now, thanks to my wife. And, you know, the man upstairs taking pity on me.
Yeah.
So, talk about second chance, man. I mean, it's amazing that I've been able to regain my health enough to be able to do this to a point of getting it, you know, out there and physically able to do it. So I'm very, very thankful for that.
Yeah. So how does that change your perspective when something like that happens?
Well, it's tough. It's not an easy disease. I pray a lot, man. I really do. I try to just, you know, take one day at a time and do the best I can with each day. I know that's kind of it's the most honest answer I can say.
Yeah. Well, like I said, man, I think it's a great record. I think it's really strong.
Thank you.
And thanks for being on the show, man.
Oh, thank you for having me very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Folks, the name of the record is Second Chance. It's from the Jeff Carlson Band. Go to jeffcarlsonband.com. for more information, but you can get the record anywhere you can download music. Can folks get a hard copy anywhere?
Not yet. That's another thing. You know, a lot of people, they want CDs and this and that, but the way that everything is now, unless you've got, you know, a huge, huge fan base to where you're making your money back and there's a huge enough demand, it's easier just to have everything online as everybody download it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
And eventually I'd like to get records made, you know, vinyl. That would be cool.
That would be cool. Absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, folks, it's a really good record. If you're a fan of really good American hard rock, I mean, that's what I would call you guys. I wouldn't call you guys really a metal band. You're a hard rock band.
Yeah.
This is a record for you. I think it's really good. We're gonna lead out of the show with the song, my favorite song from the record. It's called Shine. And has my vote for being the next video for the record, but we'll see what happens.
Thank you.
But yeah, man, I really dig it. Say hello to the rest of the band for me. And
absolutely, brother.
And special thanks to Scott Thomas for hooking us up. We appreciate you, Scotty.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, he's a rock and roller. He's a rock and roller to his very core. So we appreciate
him.
Absolutely. He was there for me in my early days of this show, and I greatly appreciate him.
Nice.
Awesome.
Me too.
So you hold on 1 second, but we're going to sign off right here. Folks, jeffcarlsonband.com.
Okay.
Some days I feel okay, some days I don't. Some
Check out Guitar Radio Show on iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher Radio, guitarradioshow.com, and anywhere you get your podcasts. Find Guitar Radio Show on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.